Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Shawn Marie. Today I have back a PI that did the case for Jedediah Hall. And so we're going to ask him some questions and get the story up to date and figure out what's going on with this. Because to me, it's just all a little weird and it makes no sense. So hopefully we can get some answers. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, as well as can be expected. It's obviously a bittersweet feeling, but I'm trying to hang in there.
So I got some questions for you. I got about 8 questions, and then we'll just see where they lead us. How's the family doing today? I just want to start there, and how are they?
You know, in order to answer that question, you have to go back about 48 hours ago. This thing to them and law enforcement was a major joke. In fact, about 15 minutes before that company, I think it's called Adventures with a Purpose, went into the water, the family was there. They thought it was an absolute joke. There's no way you'll find them in there. Now, there is a boatload of cars that go into that river continuously. And about 10 minutes before they put a diver into the water, I also called and see if the detectives were there, and they were. The detectives that have been very good with me, Detective Cox being the main one with the Idaho Falls Policeman. And I asked them, and they joked. And they says, you'll find Jimmy Hoffa or the Titanic before you find Jed Hall. And there's a couple of reasons. Number one, that area had already been searched. It was searched 12 hours after he went missing, and there was nothing that indicated on the shore or through their sonar that that car was in the body of water right where it was being looked at. So the family was absolutely blindsided when they pulled that license plate up. They're still in shock because it's not like the area was never searched before. So I guess the best way to answer your question is they've had almost 4 years to prepare for something, but there was nothing that indicated that car would be right there, and we'll get into why in a second. So they were extremely flabbergasted, extremely shocked, and obviously very, very sad because it is over.
Right.
And Mrs. Hall's quote to me was, I'm sitting there watching this, knowing I haven't seen my son for years and that this was a possibility. But I've got to plan a funeral. And that's what she told me.
Yeah.
And I asked her, I said, Miss Hall, would it have been better not to know? Or are you glad you know and this is the outcome? And she said, not knowing is a different kind. So they know what they know now. There's still a hell of a lot of questions that I have. But we can get into that on your show. So very, very surprised. And I think it's starting to set in.
I would assume it would be about now, because it's very shocking. And that one of my questions is why I didn't know they searched the river. So they did search the river before?
Oh, definitely. It's been searched a couple of times by search and rescue groups, not like somebody's uncle or a couple of cops. So, yes, has been. And that, don't forget, I did not get in this case in the beginning. He had been gone for like 7-8 months, maybe a year. The dates and times all elude me, but he had been missing for quite some time before I got involved in this. So there was a lot of different people that had a shot in this. And one other thing here, okay, and there was virtually no press on this story before I came aboard. And the only reason there was after I came aboard is because I got the surveillance footage released. See, that's
the one from the school.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And then I also got his manifesto, his suicide notes. All of those things I made public. They were never public before. The family hadn't even seen it. There was a little bit of a rift as to what could have happened because there was other things that went on besides him disappearing. He broke into the school. Somebody's house got shot up that night. That's another whole section of this. But so there might have been a criminal investigation here. So they didn't want to turn over anything, but they couldn't break into his social media. I was able to break into his social media, so I traded the police the account passcodes to his YouTube, Gmail, and Facebook and social media for them to release the surveillance footage and everything that they had in their possession to us, which I in turn released to the media. And that's when this story kind of started to grow. Nobody really covered this. There was some weird scenario about a kid breaking into a school, but until you actually saw what happened, it wasn't covered very much.
Right.
And that was the catalyst that took this to a whole nother level. And then we were about 8 days away from being on a show called Live PD. And then George Floyd got a knee put on his neck. He died.
Yeah.
And they took Live PD off the air. within days, and we didn't get Jed Hall on that national news. But at this point, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. He was where he was.
And so he has, they believe he's been there the whole 4 years.
So that's a great question. I asked the detective, who I did speak with today, is it possible that car was there, put there a year ago, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, 6 weeks ago? And I knew what the car looked like. It had some distinct marks on it. It had a unique license plate. And it also had a hubcap in the back that was gone. When they pulled that car out, the front window and the back window were broken out. The rest were not. And that vehicle had been there for the entire time. It leads them to believe. They searched the car and looked through for the last 12 hours after it was found. Six police officers went through that car with a fine-tooth comb. And the amount of silt that had built up in that vehicle, silt being the stuff that's on the bottom of that river, and that's a very powerful, large snake, part of the snake
yeah,
river.
Yeah, it is.
Had filled virtually the car up to its dashboard with
where,
silt.
Where so was
he
in
the
car?
Entire time. It had been there the entire time.
Where was he at in the car? Was he in the driver's seat?
No.
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 Can we know where he was in the car?
Well, back seat. It was a hatchback, so he was in the back. That's the only information they gave me. He was not seat belted in to the front seat.
Would that have naturally happened if... How do you think the windows broke out if none of the other windows were broken out?
Pressure. I think the pressure, I mean, that car's been under that river for 4 years, down pretty far. It's extremely muddy and dirty, and, you know, those windows eventually froze or broke or whatever, and, you know, the car was facing, you know, down river, so obviously they broke, and, you know, just almost like if you had a fish tank with a hole on each side and you put it underwater, it's going to run through that way, and that's what happened. So the front and the back were blown out.
So
that's why if you see the photographs, there's a tarp over it, so you can't see what's going on in that vehicle as they're towing it away.
Okay, so his body probably just moved then from the front to the back?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think he went into the back seat to perish.
Oh. Okay, so you believe it was a suicide?
Oh, it was, yeah. I'm going to say at this point, it's about 98-99% suicide. You know, and I mean, the only other option could be is if he, you know, was trying to escape, or maybe he thought he could drive the car in there and get out and swim away or something, got into the back seat, and then he couldn't do it. The car was never seen going in there. There was no tracks. Now, there is a dock there.
Yeah.
So what it looks like he did was he went off the dock into the river, not over the side bank. But there was snow on that. There
yeah.
were no car tracks on it. So it looks like he went through that and either climbed into the back seat to basically go down with the ship, or possibly it may be, you know, the small minute chance that he was trying to make it look like he died in the river and couldn't get out of the car. But I don't think it's that way. And those cars don't sink right away.
No, they don't.
That was my question. How far could that car have traveled? So I had a bunch of those questions. But he was found not in the front seat. And, you know, without getting too graphic, there's a lot to the family at this point. I may even know more than they do. But his remains were found, or there was remains found in it. And it for all intents and purposes, looks like Jed. And it was him. And he's been there the whole time.
So how did the YouTube people become involved? And what are your... Let's get into them.
That's a sore subject with me. I'm not a big fan of the people that do that. I'm not a big fan of search and rescue people at all. And as a private investigator, this is going to piss a lot of people off. That is not what I do. I'm not a search and rescue guy. Search and rescue and private investigators are as different from apples and bananas. It may seem like they're the same thing, but they're not. Not even close. So a lot of the search and rescue people, and then there's search and rescue people, then there's people with cadaver dogs, and then there's guys that do drones, and I have nothing to do with any of those. What I tell the families when they hire me is, listen, I'll find your son. I'll try my best to find your son if he's alive. If he's dead, there's nothing any private investigator in the world is going to be able to do.
Right.
So the success that I can take in this, if any, if I had an ego, would be the fact that I got enough press that these people recognize this case. Nobody would have recognized this case had we not got that footage released, and that took me almost 3 months. for the police to release that footage and to get all the information out there to make this story sensational enough that people would recognize it. And so, you know, they, I've known who they are. I have never watched their program, nor will I. I have never watched their YouTube program, nor will I on this. But I can tell you this. I had run into a few people over the past 3 or 4 years who have dealt with these people, and their take on them was not good. You see a finished product of what they found. God bless them, they found them. This is a pass or fail business. I failed. I didn't find them.
Right.
They passed. They did. The bottom line is everybody loses here. There's no winners. And, you know, unless he was found alive, which still might be difficult if that was the case, you know, because now you got to explain to the parents why he never came home. But I had been aware with them. There was a family in the state of Kansas that had a son that went missing at a party about 30 years ago. And the father had died. They're at their wit's end. They'd seen that I'd done some good things. They'd followed my career, and they were interested in retaining me. And they said something about the Jed Hall case. This is several months ago, and that they had brought these people in. These people solicit you. You don't call them, they call you. That's how it worked with the Halls. And these people called them and says, we can find your son. They came there for 3 days. They set up their microphones. They set up their cameras, and they didn't find shit. And when they didn't find shit, they bailed on the family. The family came back to the river, and they were gone. Now, I've had that conversation with about a half a dozen people.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
That when they couldn't, so if they wouldn't have found Jed Hall, they'd have left, and we wouldn't be having this conversation right now, and we'd be talking, if you know, on the phone about, you know, what a bunch of scumbags they are. Now, there's some things that they do that I'm not happy with. There's some things that they do that I would never do. But then again, you can't argue with the result. They found
right.
Them. They helped that family. The bottom line is how they go about doing it is great. This would be, let me put it to you this way. This would be like you taking some film of me and me saying, I can bowl and throw a strike every time I go to the bowling alley. And then every time I throw the ball, if I get a strike, you record it and you put it on there. You record a strike and put it on there, right? It looks like a, but you don't see the 50 times I threw a gutter ball.
Exactly.
They brag to me, and we'll get into that, that they have an 18% success rate. That means they don't succeed 82% of the time. So 82 out of 100 times, they don't find shit. You just don't hear from the families that didn't get anything because there's nothing to talk about. And I've had some of those families that were extremely disappointed call me after these guys left. And that's so there's some issues I have with them. Plus, how they handled me in this whole thing at the beginning, there's major heat there as well. In fact, it got pretty nasty on the phone when I spoke with them.
Well, how did they come in and find it in 20 minutes? Like, what do you know? Like, how did that happen? That to me is just like, how did IFPD not find him? And then you come in and 20 minutes, we got an answer.
How do you know where to look?
Exactly.
Hundreds of miles long. I made the quote the other day on a talk show that this is like throwing a perfect bullseye from across a football field.
It is.
Well, unless you got a tip. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows who tipped them off or said it? Now, when, and this goes to another whole story, and I don't want to get in too much of this, but I will tell you this. They reached out to the family weeks ago. They reached out to me 2 weeks ago. They sent me a text message kissing my ass. I still have it saved. What a great job I've done, how good I am, how they appreciate what I've done and all this, and that they wanted to talk to me. Now, there's three guys. There's two redneck guys that kind of, I guess they are the characters in the show. They're the two hosts, right? There's a guy with a beard, looks like he needs a bath, and then kind of a nerdier, chubby kid with bitch tits. I don't know those guys, but there's a third guy that you never see, and he's a former police officer and detective. He reached out to me, and he reached out to the family, and he wanted to talk to me. Well, they were going to go ahead and do this, and then Dr. Phil's involved all of a sudden. So the Dr. Phil show was involved in this. So I called them back, and I had two questions and one comment. First of all, God bless you guys. If you're going to do this, good luck, is what I want to say. Number two, how the hell do you think he's in that river, and what's making you look right at that dock? you've been looking and trying to put this together for several weeks, maybe even months. Why there? That was my first question. Second question, have you talked to law enforcement about going out there? They would not return my calls for weeks. In fact, I called them from several phone numbers, and only when I called from numbers that wasn't mine did they pick up the phone. A guy answered the phone who said he was a 40-year retired detective. Now, I don't know, you know, how old the guy is. He must be 137 years old. So he basically told me that he was in France. He couldn't talk. And I says, well, what makes you say that he's there in the river? And that question pissed them off. And I'm going to tell you why it pissed them off. Because if they would have told me 2 weeks ago, somebody called us and told us there. So their only excuse for why they looked there, for this moron that I talked to, was that they go within 5 miles of his last cell phone ping. And that is why they look there. Now, 5 miles is a pretty big area up and down that river that you could possibly hit within that cell phone ping. They narrowed it down to there, but I agree with you. Something's not right. I mean, something's right. They succeeded.
Right.
But something is different here. They got to pull the curtain back. I don't believe they just said, hey, 5 miles, we'll look here. And within 30 minutes, they put a buoy in the water and found it. I just don't buy it. Somebody tipped somebody off. And by the way, not only did they find it, they just happened to do it the same weekend Dr. Phil happened to be shooting. Everybody was mic'd up, and they were there filming this.
So is that a coincidence, or did we plan that?
I mean, the Dr. Phil and all them were planning on being there, but maybe Dr. Phil and them. I mean, Dr. Phil's people and I talked, and I talked to two of their producers, and they said we had four possible missing persons cases to find. Now, they said that they were going to do a story on these guys anyway, and they chose that one. They offered to fly me out there this past week. Dr. Phil's people offered to fly me out there. They also offered me to be on the show in July or in August, whenever they film it. Now, this is before they found them. And I could not, because I still play a sport called arena football. I still have a pro football career, and I had a game this weekend. So for about 16 weeks out of the year, I play arena football, and I'm a private investigator as well. I do that more in the off season, but I still do it sometimes. So I took the call. I couldn't make it out there. So I didn't think they were going to find shit anyways. And I said, I'll see you guys in July. I mean, I really did not. There had been nothing that indicated he would be in there.
Right.
You don't take a bulletproof vest, two guns, 21 pairs of underwear, wait to get your braces removed, and then get your retainer, and make sure you take your retainer if you're going to kill yourself 30 minutes after you're on film.
Exactly.
You don't take 21 pairs of underwear if you're going to go kill yourself in a river. I personally believe he was going to stage that and he died in the car. Now, unless there's something that the cops had seen, that would be my thing. I think he was going to stage that vehicle in the car, get out of there, and maybe it didn't work. I just have a hard time believing this kid waits to leave, and the way he does it right when, you know, he gets his braces off. Why get your braces off?
That was my question. Why break into the school? I mean, I get to leave the money for the friend. I understand that, but there's other ways to leave the money. You didn't have to do that. Like, he did so many things, and just...
He also shot up a pedophile's house.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a drive-by on a pedophile's house on an uncle that had molested one of his best friends. The only other thing I could think of is he might have thought he killed somebody that night. That's the only other point I can make. Is he pulled a drive-by, he doesn't know who he killed. He might have thought he slaughtered the entire family and just said, fuck it. I don't know.
Right, okay. To me, to come in here, and I did watch the live video, and I watched the guy cry and talk about how sad he was that...
Which guy?
The bigger guy.
The guy that was actually one of the hosts of the show? Do they go into the water, or do they have other guys do it? Like, are they just narrators, or are they actually doing some of the dirty work?
See, from what I've never watched their stuff, and I kept calling them Avengers and not adventurers, so I'm not, like, obviously connected, but I don't know exactly what their plan is, or, like, what they do. I just saw his video, and on his video, he said that the church leader had reached out to him to come and do this, and that normally they don't do cases that are this fresh because people aren't ready for answers. And then he started crying when he was talking about Jed's mom and how sad she is and how affected she is.
You want to hear something? What's the guy's name that was crying? That piece of shit called me an hour after Jed Hall was found to gloat. Na-na-na-na-na-na, we found him, you didn't. That kind of bullshit. I told him that we'll talk about this face-to-face at the Dr. Phil show in the green room if he has. And then he says, we'll make sure you can't go. If I ever see that guy in person, he's going to have a problem.
He's the guy without the beard is the guy who did the live video.
One of the two guys, I don't know which one it is. I don't know what they call themselves, Neil and Bob, or, you know, I don't know, Humpty and Dumpty. All I know is that those two rednecks, one of them called me, and I have his number saved, and one of them gloated after it was over. And he also talked about the $20,000 reward. I had initially put a $20,000 reward up that was off the table way before these guys got involved in this thing. And they talked about that. And I said, we'll talk about that when I see you in person. And then they got scared that Dr. Phil had been talking to me for 2 weeks because now I might see him in L.A. So it'll look more like Jerry Springer if I'm on that stage with him than it will Dr. Phil. But yeah, that piece of shit who's crying with his crocodile tears, who didn't know these people. And let me tell you something else about these people. See, now you're going to get me fired up. These assholes made her come down there knowing, and I'm going to bet that they knew more than I did, right? They knew more than most people. They put a microphone on the mother. They put cameras in her faces as they're pulling her kid out of the fucking water.
Oh, my God.
And she couldn't even take the microphone off. She was calling me to tell me that they found the license plate and they're pulling her son's car and maybe his body up covered in mud inside that car after 4 years. And she couldn't take the microphone off her chest. They recorded everything, facially, audio, everything that it was going through. What great fucking drama. Not only did they do it, Dr. Phil do it. And I'll tell you another thing. The mother called me crying and says, why isn't the regular press out here? Something's not right. So I called all three news stations. None of them were in except one. And I got a hold of a news producer who said, we're listening to the police scanners. There's nothing on the police scanners about them fishing a body out of there. I said, get down there immediately, because right now the only two people with the video are private companies. Dr. Phil's company, whatever that is, and Adventures with a whatever. And I says, we need other footage. And that's the footage that you eventually saw in the newspapers, was other news outlets getting down there. Otherwise, they would have controlled everything. So they may have done a very good thing, but they're very bad people, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they knew what they were doing, and they had that mother there for aesthetics, for entertainment purposes. Now, I don't know how their show works. I don't know what they're going to show. I know Dr. Phil's people are going to show it. So, and I don't know that Amy Hall or Mr. Hall, I know he won't, will be part of the show. But I can tell you that they did find him, but, you know, I think they were, and that's why I called him. When I talked to him and we were on the phone going back and forth, I says, I know people that don't have very good things to say about you. And that's fine. People that have good things to say about me too, to each his own.
Oh, yeah.
But amen. I would never put a mother of a teenage boy who never lived past the age of 15 on a riverbank as I pull her kid up out of the mud. Now, you tell me what kind of human beings those are. And they brag. Their main thing is not their success rate, which if they find one person, they're successful. It's that they don't charge the families, that they do this for free. Bullshit.
I was going to ask you if that's true.
Bullshit. Go ahead. Ask me the question. I'll tell you how it works. They're making boatloads of money.
How does it work? Because I'm very curious.
Well,
you can't do it for free.
They have a 501, and every asshole out there with a 501c3 now gets that instead of becoming a licensed private investigator or a real search and rescue person. And the reason you can do that is if you have a 501c3, in a lot of states, Idaho not being one, because you could be a PI just with a business license, you can go around the country and act like that person. And if you don't accept money, you're allowed. I could go to Oklahoma right now without a license there, practice as a PI if I never took a dime. Because I'm not breaking the law, because I'm not being paid to do it. So what people do is they set up a 501c3 in these states, and then they're allowed to accept donations. Then they're allowed to pay themselves a salary. Just because something is non-profit doesn't mean the people involved aren't making money. And how many hundreds of thousands or millions of hits do they get paid for on YouTube? How many donations do they take? There's asswipes listening to this program right now who probably think that those guys are great people and donate $20, $50, $100. I watch some of those streams on Disney when people go to Disney. And if you want to watch their live stream while they're at Disney, people are giving them $25, $30, $45. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they can make $5,000 in an afternoon. Guys like this can make $100,000 in a weekend. And listen, I respect and understand the hustle. Listen, I've never done a charitable case. Never once. I will never do a pro bono missing persons case. Never. Because I don't think the families stick with you if they don't have anything invested in you. But I'm upfront about that.
Right.
These guys have a ruse that they're doing this out of the kindness of the heart, like they're the Santa Claus of search and rescue. And when you put a camera in a grieving mother's face and a microphone on her and do all that. Now, she signed up for that. But one of the main reasons she signed up for all that is because we had agreed ahead of time that this would be good, because when they wouldn't find anything, it would get us the national press to take it to the next level. And they found them, so it's over.
Right.
But I think they're cocksuckers. I really do.
To me, it's just, that's one hell of a lucky, it's luck. I mean, that's some luck they have in 20 minutes to just go in there and... Because, I mean, where he went in at, I mean, I've lived here my whole life, and the river's one of my favorite places to go. And so to know that there were no tracks leading in there, and he went through, like, into the boat docks, it's like, how did no other boat ever, like, come in, even at first, how did no one ever see it? And it's such a busy highway right there, and people walking all the time. So like, how did it sink in enough time for no one to see anything?
And they don't see the headlights.
Yeah.
Nothing. Who knows?
And it just blows my mind that they were so lucky to just come here, spend a day, and then bam, we got him.
Miss Hall. Well, I mean, I don't know how much prep went into it. Miss Hall told me she went over that bridge twice a day, 6 days a week for the last 3.5 years. She was at some points no more than 50 yards away from her son.
Yeah. That's so heartbreaking.
But listen, you got to give credit where credit is due.
True.
You know, I mean, even if you think somebody's a basketball player, you don't like LeBron James, they win a championship, they succeed at what they do, you got to give credit where credit is due. It doesn't mean you have to like them. And
exactly.
I don't. And listen, this is a small industry. Sooner or later, me and those two knuckleheads will be in the same room, and those two boyfriends and I will be in the same room together, and we'll have this conversation in person. And trust me, I'll enjoy it.
Oh, I can't wait for you to have that chance. Thank you so much. And I just, if you ever need a place for your show, like a voice for you or anything for any of the cases, you can always call me, and you can always have a spot on my show no matter what.
You were there at the beginning. You're a local. I appreciate it. And if anybody needs to get a hold of me, if they need a private investigator, and listen, since the Jed Hall case started for me, I've actually solved close to 36 other cases. Gloria Alvarado in Detroit was on Good Morning America. I found her alive. Anthony Smith out of Boise, Idaho. I found him. There's a whole slew of other people that I have found alive. Zachary Lee Brewer out of Boise was another one. That's a big case there that's got no press, living in Veracruz, Mexico. I've got the photos of him. So there's been some cases I've been really, really, but it's not the ones you succeed in, it's the ones that you don't. This was the first one for me that I wasn't able to bring closure to. There is another one out there I'm working on right now that involves a woman named Lori Cockrell. Lori Cockrell was a woman that went missing out of Tupelo, Mississippi, who belongs to a very affluent family. But I can tell you, just since we've been on this phone call, we just wrapped up a case. I found a girl in Elkhart, Indiana. And we just found this girl in Elkhart, Indiana. And this isn't even on the news yet. I'll release it here first in case you guys want to check it out. But Valerie Garcia from Elkhart, Indiana, I just found in the last 25 minutes. We just got the news. She was walking around in a park. I tracked her to it. I met a guy that was 23 years old who knew her, who was working out in the park. He saw her. The family knew where she was, and we just located her within the last 40 minutes. So Elkhart, Indiana, and you could Google that story, the 15, 16-year-old girl, and But the bottom line is, guys, this is a nasty, cutthroat business. You know, and if I wasn't passionate about it, I wouldn't care. Those guys, they did a great thing. They found Jed Hall. I mean, I would have never have been in there. I could have never have went in there. But then again, that's not what I do. So hopefully, if for nothing else, this, you know, the family can move on and to some degree and see how it goes. You know, Jed has a brother as well. A lot of people aren't aware of that. He has an older half brother with his mom. His mom had a child before she married his father, and he's pretty broken up about it too. As far as the preacher, let me set something straight as far as how they got this, because I asked the family never reached out to Adventures with a Purpose or whatever, never once. This was a friend of a friend that was a pastor that knew some people that knew the family. The family and nobody with the family were even aware of who these people were. The bottom line is that they got it done, and God bless them for doing it. You got to give credit where credit is due.
Very true. It's a good thing he's been found, but just weird actings around it. But it is a good thing that he has been found.
Well, and you know, and like I said, everything always comes to fruition. You'll always figure out the truth sooner or later. The cream rises to the top. But anybody who needs a private investigator, if you have a question about it, you're more than welcome to call me. You'll get me. My telephone number is area code 813-993-2242. 813-993-2242. I'm a licensed private investigator based out of Biloxi, Mississippi. I work cases in Colorado, Idaho, Wyoming, South Dakota, Alaska, Mississippi, and a couple of other states as an in-house investigator. I charge a one-time fee, not an hourly wage. And so if anybody ever needs anybody to do private investigating work as far as a missing person or recovery, I do other things too. Everything from having to find an RV to you know, a stolen car, a comic book, Super Bowl ring. I do that as well. But this case bothered me a little bit because, you know, and I'll say this before I let you go. I actually liked this family. I actually like these people. I have audio clips of Jed Hall that I found from schoolwork, and I talked to over 125 different people in and around Jed's life. Jed's best friend and Jed's best friend's father, the last kid that he hung around with the night that he left, was also on the shore when they pulled that car up, and that kid's devastated because he always wanted to see his best friend again and felt guilty he didn't keep Jed at his house that night. His father's a cop that retires next month. He's actually a really good guy. So this hits a lot of people, and hopefully this family can heal and move on, and the most important thing is they now know.
That's right. And who was that girl that you just found so we can make sure we get that?
So Elkhart, Indiana, a young girl went missing 3 days ago. Her name was Valerie Garcia in Elkhart, Indiana, and I found her in the last hour. She was at a park, and I had a couple of people go scoop her up, and we were able to bring her home. It's not anything that got a lot of press other than on social media, but I was actually hired this morning, so I found her in less than 10 hours, and that's pretty good because she's found alive. She was a runaway.
Nice. Well, good work on that. And again, thank you. And if you ever need a platform, I am here and I am always open. I'm always open for anything you got. So,
and anytime you need me to come on and talk about, I just did the Johnny thing with Johnny Depp, which was odd. But anytime you need somebody to look something up for any other cases, if I know much about it, I'll do anything I can to help. Thank you and God bless.
You too. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, so that just fucking happened. And I'm super stoked and wow. And so I reached out to him, just so everybody knows. I reached out to him and I was like, what's your thoughts on this? And he was like, oh, I want to go on your show. So I don't think it was a suicide. It doesn't feel like a suicide. I kind of think what he believes happened is kind of really what happened. And it's just unfortunate. Like, and he made so many plans. Like, it's just, it has not sat right with me. Like, ever since they found him and everything else, that like, that's what he would choose to do after so many plans and like doing so many things. It blew my mind. And so I had to get some closure, and I found out things I didn't know. I didn't know they had searched that area before. And so it just adds a little more mystery on how they knew exactly where. And it's a big spot. And like, he's right. Like, so many cars go in there and everything else. Like, why was this not found before? But thank God he has been found. Like, I mean, really, the moral of the story is his family now has answers and he can be laid to rest properly. But I just wanted to share that interview with you guys and everything else because it was eye-opening to me. And I have a building relationship with this man. He's a, from what I can tell, a very good guy and awesome, obviously very good at what he does. So if you need his information and you didn't catch his phone number on there, get a hold of me. I will send you his way. And again, God bless the Hall family. And it's tragic that this is what has happened, but at least now there's some sort of closure. So God bless, and you guys have a great day. And I forgot to mention that May is Child Abuse Awareness Month. So I will be doing people's stories, of course, sharing their stories, sharing experiences. So if you want your story told or anything like that, please just message me on Facebook, Instagram, or you can even email me the good old fashioned way. It is what it is. pod19@gmail.com. I would love to take your stories. You can give them to me any way you want. You can write them. You can do a voice memo. You can, I do them whatever way you want. I will tell your story verbatim, what you say, or other people like it when they just talk to me and I just tell their story from my own vibe. So, I mean, I'll do whatever you want to do. Let's just get your story out there, get these voices heard, and help with the stop of child abuse. And yeah, it's one of my main passions. And so the month of May will not be all sad and down, but there will be a lot of child abuse stories, surviving it, people going to jail for it, all that good shit. So that's what we're looking forward to in the month of May.